Back to the book of 1 Corinthians. This, if you were not here last Sunday, this is part two. Those of you that are joining us now on YouTube, welcome. And this is not a special YouTube set. This is our Vacation Bible School. That's starting this week. So we're glad that you're joining us. If you did not hear last Sunday's message, it is available on YouTube. So you can, I don't put part two because then when they tune into part two, they say, well, I didn't see part one. And then they forget to come back to part two. So whole different title. But anyway, we're glad that you're tuning in on YouTube, that you're listening in on the website, and that you're here in person. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, charity never fails, never. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, not who, that. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, the outward works, the outward actions of an inward love that we've received from Jesus Christ. The title of the sermon just simply says ceased. That's because what part of ceased do you not understand was too long to fit it in. The particular gifts of miracles, signs, and wonders have ceased, have ended, have been fulfilled because God's purpose for them has ended. The other spiritual gifts pertaining to the operation and functioning of the church continues. Now, this is our sixth truth of seven that we're looking at the phrases in the New Testament that says, I would not have you to be ignorant. This sixth truth is found in chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So we have been looking for some time at this misuse of spiritual gifts and clearing up the ignorance involved in spiritual gift because of all the false teaching and because of teaching that has not been done. That's just simply avoided the area altogether. But the sensational always draws the crowd. Was that not true in the Gospels of the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? They flocked in multitudes because of the miracles that he did. But when he really pressed the teaching and required a commitment and a sacrifice, it said in John 6, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. If you want the big crowds and the popularity and the position and money that goes with that, you cannot preach the full counsel of the Word of God. Not in these days. But if you love God and you love His truth and you love people, then you want them to have the truth even when it hurts. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Churches have set the Word of God aside and they're teaching philosophy, they're teaching self-help, and they're teaching the current mode of the culture. It's heartbreaking to see what's being done by false teaching and the damage that it's being done on people. I saw a clip of the $780 million net worth Dallas evangelist, so-called, during a healing service. He hit a guy in the forehead that's sitting in a wheelchair, and the poor guy, it knocked him out of the wheelchair out onto the floor. And he's in obvious pain. So the camera quickly turns away, and the handlers come and get him back up into his chair. And the evangelist just keeps walking. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what? Instead of healing the guy, you did more damage to him. Now he's going to probably have to go to the ER. What fraud, what deceit. Years ago, in my junior college days, yes, I did go to college. There was a meeting at a friend of mine's apartment. And several folks from a particular charismatic church and the associate pastor of that church came over, and they were teaching how to get the gift of tongues. Now, folks, if I had a $20 bill in my hand, and I said to Brother Gary, "I'm going to give you this as a free gift," I guarantee you he's not going to have to sit in a class to know how to come get that $20. Well, everybody started talking at the same time. Some were praying. Some were babbling over the new folks that were there, who my friend was one of them. And then all of a sudden, he started. He said, "Boom, shakalaka-laka, boom, shakalaka-laka." And everybody there said, "He's got it." So when everybody calmed down a little bit and they were patting him on the back, I leaned over to the pastor and I said, "The only thing he's got is the chorus of Let Me Take You Higher by Sly and the Family Stone." That'll tell you about what time period that was. The gift of tongues is the easiest to imitate in the flesh. You need me to hold up a minute? Just making sure we don't have technical difficulties. The prince of the power of the air usually don't like this. The gift of tongues is the easiest to imitate in the flesh. You can babble off anything and people will accept it. And if it's not a valid known language, anybody could imitate the gift of interpretation. I mean, who could say that it was wrong? It would be hard to imitate, though, the gift of healing in a hospital room. I mean, if he doesn't unplug from the life support, get out of bed and walk home, he's not healed. He didn't really have the gift of healing. And if I honestly believe that I had the gift of healing and I didn't empty out Texas Children's Hospital or Dale Children's Hospital, I'd keep my mouth shut. I mean, it's hard to imitate the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. But rattling off some unintelligible sounds, that's no problem. That's why Paul singled this one particular sign gift out, and he devoted almost the whole 14th chapter here to correct its misuse. Tongues just simply means languages. An unknown tongue simply means a foreign language that you don't know. The purpose of this particular spiritual gift was the ability to communicate the gospel to a person in his own language without ever having learned it yourself. God gave you the ability to speak it. And that's a miracle that only God can make happen. That's why it was one of the spiritual gifts. It glorifies Him. The gospel is proclaimed and understood, and the church spreads where that language group lives. If you're sitting in a church service in Greece and an Arabian comes in speaking Arabic, nobody is going to understand what he's saying. And if that's so, he's to keep silence. If there's someone who speaks Arabic and Greek, amen. Then let the man speak or teach or give his testimony while the other brother interprets. We do that when we have missionaries here that doesn't understand, doesn't speak English. In a, we have that when people from East Texas come. But in a Greek church where every person there speaks and understands Greek, why do you need a man who has the gift of speaking in foreign languages like Arabic without having learned it, get up and begin speaking Arabic? There's no need for it. In America, in a church that everybody speaks English and somebody starts speaking something that nobody understands, what are you accomplishing? If what you're saying is biblical, then speak in English from an English Bible. If it's not biblical, keep your mouth shut. So the gift is no longer needed. To the objection that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever from Hebrews 13, that has nothing whatsoever to do with speaking in tongues or the other miracle sign gifts. Now, the Lord does not change in His being and in His attributes. He does change in His works and in His dealings with people. That's why there's not a particular fruit tree in the garden that we have to avoid. We just have to avoid that stuff in the garden on the ground called broccoli. It's biblical. God cursed the ground and up came broccoli. Nor do we need to build an ark or bring an animal sacrifice to a priest or become a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel and be circumcised or observe Passover, tabernacles, and the Day of Atonement in Jerusalem or be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. When the Lord comes in His second coming and He sets up His 1,000-year kingdom, He's going to be exactly the same. But how he deals with people on earth will be drastically different than how he deals with people through his church today. So these temporary, miraculous spiritual gifts, they were used to establish the foundation of the church. And when that foundation was completed, those accompanying spiritual gifts were completed. They ceased. They ended because we saw last time, number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit empowered church that these miraculous sign gifts pointed to was rejected by the Jews and by Israel. The Jews require a sign. God gave them a sign and they rejected it. Number two was the completion of the office of apostle. John was the last apostle to die. And the office of apostle died with him. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, these folks that are calling themselves an apostle, if they're not over 2,000 years old, they don't know what they're talking about. He received direct revelation. An apostle received direct revelation from the Lord that was proclaimed and recorded. And with the book of Revelation, that ended. And that's where we left off. Now I'll start the sermon today. The third reason why these miraculous spiritual sign gifts have ceased is the completion of the New Testament. Stay in 1 Corinthians, but go over to the last page. Not in the maps, but in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. Let me get 18 as well. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. The revelation, the divine revelation, the divine inspiration in words that God gave ended with revelation. God does not give new revelation. We can't even understand and grasp the revelation that he's given. This is, as I said last week, this is a complete revelation. It tells the purpose of God, the will of God, from Genesis till we wrap this up in chapter 22 of Revelation and continue on into eternity. Everything that we need is here. We just need greater understanding of the revelation that God has already given. If someone says, I have a new revelation from God, and it's not in this Bible, the book of Galatians tells us exactly what we're to do. If one of the primary jobs of apostle was speaking and recording the direct revelation of God in words, when that's completed, the purpose of the office of apostle and of a New Testament prophet has been ended and completed as well. The church of 120 that were meeting in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, waiting for the endowment on high to be filled with the Holy Spirit and his power, they had already received him, you'll remember in John chapter 20. But they needed this endowment because there was no time to learn a new language, to learn the doctrines and operations of this new way called the church, without the power of God enabling them to do so. And that power came in Acts chapter 2. They knew They had a knowledge. They had a gift of knowledge without study. They had a wisdom without the knowledge of knowing how to apply it. They could speak and understand a foreign language without learning it. They could heal without knowing medicine. They could even raise the dead. All something only God could do. What they were doing is continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ to the lost house of the nation of Israel. In the opening chapters of Acts, you see nothing but Jews and Jewish proselytes. Acts chapter 2, they were at the celebrating the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And so those accompanying signs and miracles were given to authenticate that what was being said and done was of God to Israel. Until they completely and finally rejected it. They rejected the signs and the wonders in the Old Testament. They rejected the signs and wonders in the Gospels. They rejected the signs and wonders in the book of Acts. They rejected all three persons of the manifestation of the Godhead. So with that and the completion of God's word, those signs, those miracle gifts were not needed. Now, does God still perform miracles today? Absolutely. Does he give gifts to a person to perform miracles today? Absolutely not. I don't need a sign. I don't need to see a miracle to know whether something that's said or done is of God. This tells me if it's of God or it's not of God. This is the perfect that has come. What's going on in the false teaching in saying that these gifts are still in operation and the office of apostle is still functioning is a travesty in the New Testament church of Jesus Christ of 2023 and to the Word of God. But it sets the stage for the one world religion of Antichrist with his miracles and counterfeit signs and wonders to come onto the scene. It grieves me to see the seat of Satan growing stronger and more invasive every day, brother. That's just one of the manifestations of it. Heartbreaking because children are involved. What about the children of divorces? I wonder what God thought when all of the babies in the area around Jerusalem were killed, 2 years and younger. I wonder what that did to the heart of God. I'm going to tell you something. You best leave children alone. There's an admonition from the Lord that says, it'd be better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you thrown into the sea than you offend one of these little ones. So folks, let me tell you something. A judgment's coming. There's coming a reckoning for what's going on. And just like the land of Canaan, God waited in patience with the desire that repentance would take place. But when the cup of iniquity was full, God's judgment fell. What's about to take place? I'm going to tell you something. To see the foundations of nations and national economies destroyed, to see the moral compass of an entire culture be thrown out, to see the Bible thrown out by churches and by entire denominations, but I know it has to take place. And also know until it's finalized, there's still work for us to do. Please do not discourage children from committing their lives to Jesus Christ by the older folks giving up on the world and saying, there's no more hope. Jesus Christ has got to come today. That sends a wrong message to the children that they don't have a chance. Folks, we honestly don't know when he's coming. I know it looks like it's imminent. Has it not always? Stop looking at the signs. Stop looking at the seasons. And start looking at our responsibility that he put us here to do. He'll take care of the times and the seasons. That's why he said you don't have any need to know it, because it won't affect what you're doing. If you didn't know he was coming for 5 years, for 4 years and 6 months, you wouldn't do nothing. The Church of Jesus Christ of 2023 needs to reconnect to this endowment of power given by the Holy Spirit to the early church. We need a revival of love and worship to Jesus Christ, of putting him as Lord and preeminent over our lives again. We're allowing events and things to crowd him out and take a back seat. Where's the commitment? Where's the sacrifice that Jesus has always called his people to do? We serve if it's convenient. We serve when we have time. That's not serving Jesus Christ as he saved us to do. So I invite you to do just that. To once more put him back on the throne. Put him as supreme and preeminent in your life. Put everything else second behind that. Those of you who have never been born again, I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior before it's eternally too late. There is coming a time in your personal life when it ends, and when this particular church age ends, that there'll never be another chance to receive him. So while the time is at hand, don't put it off. Receiving Jesus Christ is a conscious choice that you make. Nobody else can make it for you. A ceremony, a ritual cannot take its place. A church cannot do it for you. Church membership. You cannot even do it yourself with good works and trying to be the best you can. It's something that only God can do. And all we can do is come to him and ask him to do it to us personally. If that's never happened, my friend, you're separated from God. And if you die in that separation, you will be separated from him for all of eternity. Now that's what his word says. So the choice is, do I believe what God's word says or what I think or what somebody else says? Church? Being called on to sacrifice in an age where there's no sacrifice going on, we look for the easy way. That's a hard, challenging message. Not everyone wants to do that. And they walk away. There's nothing we can do about it other than love them and pray for them. Pray that the Lord would open their eyes. But God, guys, the Lord's given us grace. He's given us mercy. He's given us his truth. And when you believe it and live it out, it works. It puts families together. It puts marriages together. It heals. It brings back joy. It produces peace and contentment. I want to tell you something. A good job and money won't give that to you. Most of the time, it only gives you headaches. Only Jesus Christ can give you what you're looking for in the world. So whether you're lost or saved, the solution to your problem is found in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Father, we thank You this morning that we do have Your Word. Lord, we have it to read at any given time, to ingest it into our heart, into our mind, into our life. And Lord, thousands of Your people can testify of the transforming power that the Holy Spirit does with these words in the heart of Your believers. Thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for a church that believes this book. And with Your power, we try to live that out. Lord, help us to stand in days of apostasy. Help us to stay faithful to Your church, to Your word, and to Your service. Lord, we pray for all the ministries that is in this church and go out from this church, Lord, that You would be glorified and that Your great commission would be accomplished as a result of it. Lord, perhaps some of us need to be reminded again this morning of why we do this, why we do sacrifice time and energy and money. It's to glorify You. And to one day when we stand before You, not have to bow our heads in shame because we didn't do what You saved us and enabled us to do. Lord, we love our family, we love our friends, our relatives too much to hide the truth from them. So Lord, stir our hearts up again, challenge our hearts again this morning. To do as Daniel did, to purpose in our heart that we won't defile ourselves with this present evil world, but that we would show them You and speak Your gospel to them. Lord, we ask You to do this in Jesus' name.